And this morning we read once again challenging words from the Gospel of Luke. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Through these words, God's voice is heard. We trust in your grace and mercy, and we want to follow you. But sometimes, O God, your word is so challenging. Sometimes we find it hard to understand, and sometimes we would simply rather not follow. Grant us courage, O God, to follow you, and wisdom to understand the way in which you would have us follow. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So there is something horribly wrong in our world, in our society, when a father kills his 11-year-old daughter. We don't need to know why he did it, what his motives were, how he did it. It is wrong. It is evil. It is toxic. We don't have to go to the evening news, though, to find toxic behavior. Sadly, I think it permeates every area of our life and our society these days. I decided to Google those two words, as one does these days. It used to be, you know, you went to your library and you got out the big dictionary or encyclopedia, but now you just Google things. So I Googled toxic people, and I was overwhelmed by the number of articles, some, of course, better written than others, but suffice it to say, obviously, there is a problem in our society with toxic human waste. So after reading a number of thoughts about what makes someone toxic, I offer these seven ways to determine if someone is toxic. And I compiled them from my reading. So here are the seven types of people. There's the conversational narcissist who keeps interrupting you. There's the straitjacket who wants to control everyone and everything. There is the emotional moocher who sucks all of the positive energy out of you. There's the drama magnet who always has something going on in their life. There's the jealous, judgmental person who just can't be happy themselves or happy for anyone else. There is the fibber. You need a lie detector to be friends with them. There's the arrogant tank who barges full speed ahead, crushing everything and everyone in their path. And modern pop psychology would say that we are supposed to distance ourselves from such people because of the damage they do to everyone who tries to be a part of their life. So I decided I'm taking that advice to heart. I'm going to stop coming to church meetings. I won't be hanging out much with my family. And there go most of my friends down the tubes as well. And I'm kidding, but seriously, think about it for a minute. Almost all of us, I think, could fit into one of those slots or another. I could be nailed on more than one, I'm sure. So how can we just avoid these toxic folk who seem to be everywhere these days? Because as one author I consulted says, you deserve to have wonderful, supportive, and loving people in your life. In fact, life is too short to spend time with people who don't help you be your best self. So what does Jesus have to say about it all? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge. Do not condemn. Forgive. Give. Well, these words of Jesus today that follow last week's in the Sermon on the Plain in Luke say that it is our job as followers to show a different way, a way that doesn't give up on others, doesn't walk away when the going gets tough, doesn't fault others for their failures, but reaches out with forgiveness and grace. Boy, that makes this whole discipleship thing pretty tough, doesn't it? Isn't there an inherent danger, actually, in being that sort of person? Turning the other cheek could be interpreted as being willing to give oneself over to abuse, and it has been used that way by conservative churches who have been known to tell women they must remain loyal to partners who abuse them, for it is God's will. There is never an excuse for us as Christians misinterpreting God's word so that it brings harm to the faithful, real harm. But then where does that leave us? We want to be faithful to Jesus' way of gracious love and forgiveness, but not at the expense, obviously, of our own safety, sanity, security, emotional well-being. Well, you know where it leaves us? It leaves us exactly where so many things in our life of faith leave us. Caught somewhere between the ways of the world, the interpretation of life we hear all around us, which is very much egocentric, look out for yourself at all costs, it leaves us between that way and the way of Jesus, which often seems to lead us down a dangerous pathway of giving too much, of putting ourselves in danger for the good of others. Jesus showed us a way of sacrificial love, a willingness to give everything. And that makes it pretty hard for the rest of us who want to follow him, doesn't it? But you know what? That's what a life of faith is all about, really, at least in a liberal Protestant church. It's not about anyone giving you all of the answers. It's not about simply reading the Bible and saying, there, I've got it, I understand now. It's about hearing hard words like we heard today, showing us a different way, and then living with that constant tension between the ways of Jesus and the ways of the world in which we live, never knowing for certain, fumbling around and sometimes giving way too much, and other times not giving nearly enough of yourself. We all deserve to be treated with respect. We all deserve to live in wholeness and peace. But we are also called more than anyone outside of our faith is called, because we are the example setters. We are called to show the world a better way, to offer grace when others would offer judgment, to offer love when others would feel justified to hate, to give until we wish we didn't have to give anymore. There is evil in the world. There are people whose behavior seriously is toxic, bringing great harm to others. And we as followers of Jesus Christ, find ourselves right in the middle of the mess, because that's where God's faithful few always end up. May the wisdom of Christ guide us. May the love of God protect us. And may that feisty, determined, resentless spirit of goodness and truth equip us for the fight against all that is wrong and evil, while still cultivating the spark of God's Spirit, the spark of goodness and light that is in everything and everyone. And you know, I'm not actually sure that God has a toxic waste removal program. I think God recycles everything.